Good morning, Rabbi. Good morning, gentlemen. Anybody there?
Yeah, good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning. Tuvia? Who's that, Tuvia? Hello? Okay. One moment.
Rabbi, I'm sorry. I pushed the off button instead of taking off mute.
So is that Tuvia?
Yeah. I did the same thing yesterday when you were taking attendance.
You what?
Yesterday when you were asking who was on the 4:30 shear, I instead of pushing off mute, I turned the... push the off button. They're right next to each other, so.
So you were there.
I was there, yeah.
Okay, good, because I didn't have you there. There.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's continue with the Chofetz Chaim.
Yeah. And it turns out I'm not in trouble.
Good. Okay.
Is it 11 o'clock already? Yes. Okay. Says the Chofetz Chaim. So we're talking about that Gemilas Chasadim, Eichel Perisei B'Mazeh, you get reward in this world, but the principle still stays for the future world. You're not subtracting anything from your principal Schar. And then we said yesterday that Gemilas Chasadim can protect you B'Shas HaSakana, and we brought the story with Rabbi Loza ben Prata and Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan, that they were both arrested by the Romans, and Rabbi Chanina said to Rabbi Loza ben Prata, you're going to be saved because you're Isaac and Torah and Gemilas HaSadim, whereas I, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan, I was Isaac B'Torah, but I didn't do as much Gemilas HaSadim as I could. He did do Gemilas HaSadim, but for what he could have done, he said he didn't do the right amount, and therefore, the Gemilas HaSadim, he won't be protected by Gemilas HaSadim. So the Chofetz Chaim writes the following. He brings a medrash in Sefer Rus, Rus Rabbah. He brings a medrash, and it says over there like this. Take a look at the power of those who are going mechesed and do tzedakah. She'ein chaysin loy b'tzel shachav, loy b'tzel kanfei eres, loy b'tzel kanfei shemesh, loy b'tzel kanfei chayis, loy b'tzel kanfei kruvim, loy b'tzel kanfei srafim. They are not protected by the shadow, or they're not under the protection of all these other types of powers, not by the protection of Malachim or the sun, etc. Ella, who are they protected by? They lie in the shadow, Betzel, Misha, Omar, Vahoya, Olam. They're under the protection of Hashem, who created the world. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Mayaka chazdecha elohim uvnei adam betzel kedefecha yechsoyin. How great is your chesed Hashem, because people will be protected by your shade. They'll be under your protection. He says, what's the pshat? So he goes on to explain that when Hashem does judgment in Shemayim, so he has the malachim surrounding him, and they like comprise a Sanhedrin, a Bezdin upstairs. So he says, and I'll read it to you, the Lashon inside, and then we'll explain it. Yadu etzno, k'shabezdin shomah l'don nesadin, when Bezdin Shemayim does judgment, he says, even though there are many malachei rachamim on the Bezdin, af shagam bohem yesh malachei rabim merubin, many malachim rabbim on the Bezdin. Vayim Ruben shel Sanhedrin shel Mala. And that's they comprise most of the Sanhedrin, is Malachi Rachmim. They stand to the right of Hashem's royal throne, Lezakis is Sanhedrin, to try to find merits for the one who's being judged. But nevertheless, he says, there is still a din, a judgment. Mashen Cain. So sometimes that's how the judgment is done, with a bezdin of Malachim, comprised mostly of Malachi Rachmim, but it sounds like there are other Malachim there too, and they partake in the judgment. However, there's also another kind of din that happened. Mashen Cain Kesher Kodesh Baruch Hu Levadoi done. If Hashem does the judgment on his own, doesn't confer with the Malachim, so then it's Rachmim Arubim. There's tremendous amount of Rachmim. And that's, he's saying, that's the Pasuk says, Toiv Lachas Bashem. It's better to be under the shield or protection of Hashem, Iptach Ben Divim, rather than being under the judgment of Nedivim, refers to those abesin with the Malachim. But when is Hashem going to put you there, only solely under him? When is he alone going to do the judgment? When will he be the sole judge? If he's a Baal Chesed, so he was a great Baal Chesed here, so that will inspire Shemayim also, that Hashem should be his only judge, and Hashem is Malei Chesed. Ba'avur zeh zoiche acha kach shakadosh baruch hu ba'atzmai hu baldinai, that only Hashem will be his judge. And that's what the Medrash says. Boy urei koichan shabal etztok avigam mechasodim. This is how we start out the Medrash. Come and see how great is the power of Malei Chesed and Gamei Chesed for people in this world. Shinamakus, it says, Mayoka Chazdacha Lakim Hainai. That means to say, the Medrash is saying, Mayoka Hu, how precious it is, Kishe B'nei Odom Ma'oirim Chazdacha. If the people down here are Ma'oirir, inspire the Chesed of Hashem, Bavuze Zoichim, and through that Chesed that they do here, Shebetzel Kenefecha Soyin, that they're under the shadow of Hashem, lo b'tzel acheim, only Hashem will judge them. And then he brings a pasuk in Tehillim, milfonecha mishpati yetzei, from me your judgment will come, techazene meisharim, you will see a righteousness. So that means to say that the judgment is coming strictly from Hashem. He himself, without the Sanhedrin, is going to judge us. Lufanecha levad, only from you by yourself, v'loy b'tzeiruf ha-bezen shamala, without the rest of the bezen, the Sanhedrin shamala, partaking. K'mosh kasev, like it says a pasuk, Mor'isiyas Hashem yoshev al kisoi, I saw Hashem sitting on his throne, and all of his creations in Shemayim are to the right and to the left of Hashem. Meaning, right to the left means what? Hashem doesn't have a place. There are those malachim who say, look for schusim, for the judged one, for the one being judged. And then the malachim who say, ischayim. So the pasuk says, "Einecha tachzene meisharim." Your eyes will see like righteousness. Kishakadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzma yabit berachma v'alvam hayisharim. That means Hashem, look at the good things, the chasadim that the person did in this world. Einecha tachzene meisharim. You, Hashem, should see the righteousness, the good things that the person did. Hashem will look for a schus, meaning even a person did some things bad, So he'll say, well, you know, he was under this difficult situation, so that's why he failed. Hashem will look for schusim. So if Hashem is doing the judging by himself, so he'll try to find some justification to look away at the bad things. But if the whole Sanhedrin is there with him, so then it's, you know, then there are those who say chayv, those who say pater. So Chafetz Chaim concludes that ma'at novin kavanas ma'machazal. So now we can understand what we started with yesterday. Yesterday we said if a person is asking to mischasadim, and that so since you're doing chesed here, that will inspire that in Shemayim, Midas HaChesed will rule. Hashem, meaning Hashem, will see the Chesed that we did here. So He will judge us favorably. He says, "Al ken kishum izdamen loy le'odam eis tzara." So if a person finds himself in a difficult situation, Chas v'Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzma hu adayin shelo. So like we just brought from that medish, Hashem himself will be the judge, u'manegoyse b'chazdoi, and he will do chesed with this person, u'bevadi yinotzo, and he will save him. Ma'ashen ken, kishosak b'toyer levad. But if the person is only oisik in Torah, u'bigmilis chosodim o'yosik karoi, but he didn't do the sufficient amount of Gil Chassadim that he could have done, so then he's not going to inspire the Chesed upstairs. And the Chesed upstairs will not be inspired, Karoi, Arkain, and therefore if he's going to have a Tzara, Chas v'Shalom, so then there will be those who say, no, you know, let's judge him the way he is. And he won't be able to get away from the din, from the midas din of those malachim who are judging him, you know, based on what he did. So this is what the Gemara means. We said this pasuk yesterday. It looks like he has no God, meaning that God is not going to intervene and do extra chesed with him. So of course he has a God, but the pasuk means is that Hashem will not intervene using his midas harach, midas hachesed, because you didn't use it either down here. Since you didn't, we're not oisik and chesed down here, so then Hashem is not going to come to your support in Shemayim either, and the din will be what it is. Okay, we'll hold it here for today in the Chofetz Chaim. Yes.
I have a question regarding this.
For what?
I have a question
regarding this. Yes. Okay.
Okay, so I thought the angels were just, like, basically just like robots, like computer programs, just to carry out God's will. So how do they acting separate, like, it's like as if they're acting separate from God, Pastor Shalom. Like they're making their own judgment. I thought they're merely just like tools for God. So what does it mean that God's? What does it mean that they're making their own judgment? God, isn't God Himself making the judgment? Just the angels are, I guess, sort of.
No. So it seems that they're not robots. They carry out the will of Hashem, but. They, let us put it this way, they have minds of their own and opinions that they offer. And the biggest proof from that is we learned way back in Bereishis that some malachim fell down from Shemayim. Right? Because, and they sinned, right? Generally,
what?
Since they are in such an environment upstairs, you know, where they have such clarity in Hashem, so therefore they do what's right because they see it. But it can be that they have their own opinion, but they do have an opinion of their own. And therefore when it says that Hashem has a Sanhedrin Shomala, So that means he has these malachim that, you know, make opinions in their judgment. That's what a bezin is. Hashem has his bezin there. So it depends how much control Hashem gives them, right? Different situations. If the person is about chesed down here, Hashem does not invite them for the judgment. He does it himself. If it's a regular situation, then there's judgment.
He can't help judgment.
What?
But the angels themselves don't have the power to carry out the judgment. It's only Hashem that has the
They don't carry it out. But they influence, so to say, Hashem gives them a certain ability to influence the judgment. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is saying. It seems that's how it works.
Why is it that God doesn't do that? Why is it like this? And then God doesn't just himself make the judgment.
That's how he wanted to set up his system. Ultimately, I think the final judgment will be Hashem's, but he allows their influence or their opinions to carry weight.
But do angels know the intentions of man, the hidden intentions? But those only for Hashem.
Well, you know, when there's a judgment upstairs, so that I guess everything plays out, right? That's what they say. You know, they're gonna put on your a movie of your life, of what you did, and I guess in order for them to be able to offer opinion, they have to see the whole thing. So maybe Hashem allows them to see it.
I heard that in like Tehillim that the hidden intentions are only for Hashem. But it goes on in a person's mind. So how do they base their judgment? They won't be able to base their judgment on that. That won't be a true judgment then.
So I would say maybe upstairs, when the judgment happens, otherwise if they don't know...
it won't be a true judgment.
They don't, maybe Hashem, lets them in on it upstairs. Otherwise, how do they judge? Unless they maybe just judge by the act that was done without the intent.
That's not possible.
I would assume if they can be on the Sanhedrin, then they have to know all the facts as well. Okay. Let us continue where we left off yesterday. They were dealing with the case of the fire. Right? Kaifiv Kamash Shachaveiro, if Nad Leika. So the Gemara concluded what happened, that he bends the other person's grain towards the fire, and a Ruach She'ena Mitsuya burns it down. So therefore, he did not expect that a Ruach She'ena Mitsuya will come. So therefore, he can't be Machayv and Bedine Adam. But he's chai b'dinei shemayim. That was what the Gemara said. Then we said, and the Gemara had said, if it was ruach mitzuya, that if he bent it towards the fire, and a ruach mitzuya, a regular natural wind, sends the fire towards the grain, then he'll be chai even b'dinei adam. That's what the Gemara said. If it's Ruach Mitzuya, so B'dinei Adam, Namin Chayv, should be Chayv, even B'dinei Adam. So what's the conclusion of the... So what do you see from this? You see that even if you bend the grain towards the fire, it's like you made the fire. Like you took the fire and burnt the grain. Same thing. And then you'd be chayiv b'dinei adam as well. So Taisus asks, let's go to the top Taisus. Ilema dematya le beruach mitsuya. Is the case where the grain caught fire from a regular breeze, a natural wind, B'dinei Adam, nami nechayiv, so you should be chayiv even b'dinei Adam. The entire Ma'as, the Taisis asks, Kivan she'ein chiluk bein mekarev dover etzel ha'esh. Since there's no difference now, whether you bring the item to the fire or you bring the fire to the item, there's no difference. You're chayiv in both situations. Kivan she'ein chiluk. Since there is no difference by mekariv dover etzla eish from bringing the item to the fire by mekariv ha eish etzla dover, or you bring the fire to the item. If so, amai amrinan beperik kolan isrofin. Why is the halacha in perikol isrofin Sanhedrin? It says there. Kafsai b'makayim shesev chama oitzina lavoi. If someone ties someone up in a place where the sun will come, ties them up in the night, but in the morning the blazing sun is going to come out, or he ties them up by day and at night it'll become freezing. The din is potter. That, and then the guy dies, he's potter. So why is he part of Medina Yadam? L'chayiv, l'manda ama isha mishamchita. So yesterday we explained what's this machloikis. Machloikis in the second parak. When you make a fire, is the fire considered like you did it? In other words, it's like you went and let's say you broke someone's window. So you did the direct damage. Or is fire considered like your property did damage, like your ox went and trampled someone's field? Or is it considered like you yourself went and trampled the field? That's a machloikis there. Isha mishum chitzav, that means is the arrow, is a fire considered like it's your arrow, like you shot an arrow and did damage with that? So that's considered your direct damage? Or is Isha Mishum Mamono? Or you say, your fire is like your property went, your property, your ox went and did damage. So there's a machlokes over there in the second perek. So Tos is saying, if you hold that Isha Mishum Chitzav, that it's like your arrows, it's like you did the damage directly. So then, when you tie up this guy, and eventually the sun's going to come out and kill him, or the cold, it'll get very cold and he'll die from it. So it's like you did the action. So it's like you brought him to the fire directly. So you should be chayiv. Just like in the case here, when you bend the grain towards the fire, you're chayiv. It's like you started the fire. You directly burnt the grain. So too, here also, when he brings, when he ties up this fella in front of the sun, in front of the sun that will come, that should also be Isha Mishum Chitzav, his action that caused him to die. So why won't he be Chayiv? V'chein, and you can ask the same question on another case the Gemara says there. Kaf Solifnei Ari. It says if he ties them up in front of the lion, the case was the lion was not there yet, but it may come, so then the din is also that you're potter. So why are you potter? That's what Tosis wants to know. If you hold Isha Mishim Chitzav, it's like you did it directly. It's like you killed him. If you would hold Isha Mishim Mamono, that a fire is considered like your property damaged. So that means it's like my property, you know, it's like my animal did the damage. But if you hold Isha Mishum Chitzav, that means it's like you did it. So you tied up this guy here and killed him. It's like you killed him. So why are you potter? So Tais is going to tell you that there's criteria required in order to be chayer. The Yesh Leimah. The Vadai, certainly, ikafsai vehevi'ai mimakaim bimakaim shesoif cham oitzina lavoi oyari chayev. So the first criteria is, he's telling you that if you brought him from somewhere else, you tied him up somewhere else, and then you brought him and placed him here in a place where the sun's going to come out and going to stifle him, then you'll be chayev. Because you brought him to the fire. You brought him to the sun. You will be chayev. Ve'yesh loyma. Devadai certainly kafsai. If you tied him up, ve'vi'ai, and you brought him b'makon to a place, she'seif chama oitzina lovoi, where ultimately the sun or the cold is going to come, oyari, or you brought him to a place where the lion will come eventually, chayev. For sure you're going to be chayev. Because then that would be analogous to our case over here. You brought the grain to a place where the fire is going to get it. Aval hosa mairi, there it's speaking, shekafsai b'mokam shahoya. He was already there, in the place that you tied him up. He was already there. You found him over there, and then you just tied him up over there. So you didn't bring him there. So therefore, we can't make you chayiv because you did not bring him there. So the first criteria, let's say one criteria to make him chayiv is if you brought him there. So in these cases in Sanhedrin, it's speaking that he was there. And you tied him up where you found him. So therefore, you're not chayiv because you didn't bring him. So Taisis says, but Lamai said, by tying him up, you're not letting him escape. So Taisis says, no, v'lo hava mitzamtzei. This is not considered mitzamtzei. Mitzamtzei means that you stop, you don't allow him to escape, that you don't let him save himself. That's what Betzamtzim is. So Taisus is asking, by tying him up, you're not letting him escape. So you should be chayiv. Even though you didn't bring him from somewhere else, but you're not letting him escape. Says Taisus, v'lo hava mitzamtzeim. No, this is not the din of mitzamtzeim. Why? Hoyil v'chama v'atzina v'ari ein alav b'shas kvisa. Since at the time that he tied him up, the danger, the mazik, isn't there yet, because the sun is going to come in a couple of hours. The cold is going to come in a couple of hours. The lion isn't there now. If the danger isn't there at the time that he tied him up, then that does not go under the rule of mitzamtzeim. So therefore, you're putter. So what Taisus is telling us is that there are two criteria that could make him chayev. Either he brought him from somewhere else to the place of danger, even if the danger isn't here yet, if he brought him from somewhere else, he'll be chayev. Or if the danger is not there yet, either he brought him from somewhere else, that'll make him chayev, even if the danger is not there yet. Or if he didn't bring him from somewhere else and he tied him up where he was, if the danger was there already, he'll also be chayev. Those are the two situations where he'll be chayev. Either he brought him from somewhere else to this place, but the sun isn't up yet, he'll be chayev because he brought him to the place of danger. Or even if he didn't bring him from somewhere else, but he happened to have been in this place of danger and you tied him up over here, if the danger is there already, he'll be chayev. Those are the situations, either or will make him chayev for the death of this person. Either he brought him from somewhere else, or even if he didn't, if the danger is here already, if the sun is already up, if the lion is here, so then he'll be chayev. So in these cases in Sanhedrin, Tysus is telling us that neither criteria is there. Neither criteria of making him chayev exists. First of all, he didn't bring him from somewhere else. He was here. And the danger wasn't here yet. So that's why you're potter, because there's no criteria here to make him chayev. Right? The two criteria is he brought him from somewhere else. No, so they're saying the case here is he was here. The other criteria is if the danger is here already. Well, the danger is not here because the sun didn't come up yet. The lion is not around. That's why he's going to be potter. So neither criteria has been met to make him chayev in the case of the lion or where the sun will come up. Now, had the sun already been up, he'll be chayev even if he tied him up right here because the danger is here already. The mazik is here. So Tysus has a question. All right, well, you know what? Let's just reread the Teretz inside one more. V'yeshleim adavadai, certainly. Ikafsai, Rabbi Yehuda Malkam, if he had tied him up, somewhere else. Vevi and he brings him b'makayim shesayv chama aitzina lavoi, and he brought him to this place where the danger isn't here now, but it will come to Yechayev because you brought him here. Vevi b'makayim shesayv chama aitzina lavoi ayari will come b'sayfai, then Yechayev. That would be one criteria to make him chayev. If you brought him from elsewhere, even though the danger isn't here yet. Avohasa Mayri over there is speaking, Shekafsa b'makam shahaya. He didn't bring him from somewhere else. He happened to have been here, and he tied him up over here. So you can't make him chayev because he brought him from somewhere else. V'lehazizimim kaimai. He didn't bring him from anywhere else. He didn't move him from a different place. I said, Tysus asked, but you're not letting him escape by tying him up, and then the sun is eventually going to come up. No, will I have a mitzamtzeim? It doesn't fall under the category of mitzamtzeim that you stopped him from escaping. Since at the time that he ties him up, the danger isn't here yet, it doesn't go under mitzamtzeim. You can't make him chai for that. That was the second criteria. Since the danger isn't here yet, even though you tied him up over here, but you didn't tie him up in front of the danger, so then you potter. Ain't no b'shas kisa. So now Tysus is. But we have another case over there. That case is where you tied him up, and then you turned the hose on him and drowned him. So Tysus says, what's the din over there? Vahi, the askil alei bitka demaya. In that case, where you turned like the force of the water on him. Afilu kafsai vehevi'esham. V'yachakach isko potter. Tysus says, what happens if you tied the guy up somewhere else? And now you bring him here, and you put him in front of the fire hydrant, right? So now Lechaira, since you brought him from somewhere else, that's criteria to make him chayav. Right? That was one of Tosis' criteria. If you brought him from somewhere else, even though the sun isn't out yet, you're going to be chayav because you brought him from somewhere else to this place of potential danger. So here, in this case, you brought him from somewhere else, and then you're going to turn the hose on him. You're going to open the fire hydrant on him, and it's going to gush on him and kill him. So why should you be potter? You should be chayiv. You brought him from somewhere else. So Taisa says, well, there is a little caveat in this halacha. When we say that if you bring him from somewhere else, even though the danger isn't here yet, we say you're chayiv, that's provided that the danger is going to come on its own. Like the case, the sun is going to rise. The cold is going to become very cold. He does not have to do any other action to kill him. Right? It's only if it comes on its own, that's when you'll be chayiv. But over here, since there's another action required on his part, that he has to turn the water on him, so then the fact that he brought him there will not make him chayav. The Tosis says, "Vahi da askil alei bitka demaya." In that case, where he turned the water on him, afilu kafsai vehviyasham. Even if he tied him up and brought him there, viyacha kach iskil, and then the water gushed on him and killed him. Potter, he's potter. Why? The dummy lezoirek chaitz v'trisbi yado. It's like you shoot an arrow at somebody and he's got a shield. So that arrow can't do any harm. So here also, by just tying him up and bringing him to this place, there's no harm. No harm's going to come on its own. So Tosis said, in that case with the arrow, you're potter. And not only that, are you potter, but Tosis says, v'afilu kadam hu v'natlai. Even if before the arrow hits the shield, somehow he can make him drop the shield. Tosis is the case that even if the shooter can get there and pull the shield away, and then he's going to get killed, he's still going to be potter. Why? Because at the time that he shot it, there's no danger. There's a shield. So here also, at the time that he brings the guy from somewhere else, nothing's going to happen to him until someone comes and turns the water on him. In other words, it's not like the case where the sun comes up automatically, where no other action is required, so then his action itself caused him to die because the sun's coming up, the lion's going to show up. But in the case of the water, by just bringing him there, and if nothing else is done, nobody else does anything with water, guy's not going to die. So then you cannot hold him responsible for killing him. So this is like a condition in the rule of Hevio. But even though Hevio, if you bring him to the place, Tosis said, you'll be chayiv, but that's only if no other action is required. The sun will come up on its own. The temperature will go down on its own. So then his action causes this guy to die. So he'll be chayiv. But where another action is required, so then even though it's Hevio, it will be potter. So that's the rule so far. Tosis has now another case in Sanhedrin. So Tosis says, so basically these are the rules, right? If he brings them to a place where there's no danger yet, but the danger will come, he's chayav. If he tied him up somewhere else and brings him to a place and exposes him to the sun, which will come up in a few hours, he'll be chayav. But he's chayav only because no other action is required on his part. The sun's coming up on its own. The danger will come on its own. Or the, like the case of the lion. Even though the lion's not there now, but once he put him there, the lion's going to show up, then he's chayav. However, if another action would be required, like in the case where he brought him from somewhere else, and then he has to, someone has to turn the hose on him to kill him, so then he won't be chayav, because his action alone would not have killed him unless someone else did another action to do it. And then the other criteria to make him chayiv for murder will be, is even if he didn't bring him from somewhere else, but he found him in the place where the sun was already up, and he ties him up over there, since the danger is already there, he'll be chayiv also, even though he did not bring him from somewhere else. That's the criteria Tosis has given us so far. And Tosis had compared the water case to the case of someone shooting an arrow at someone who has a shield. So when he shot the arrow, there's no danger because he's got the shield. And now Tosis asks the kasha from another case that we have there about a snake. The Imtaima asks Tosis, Hahi the Hishich boy. As hanochash. There's a case there where someone incites the snake against the person. The potter. So there's a machloikis there if you're potter a chayev. So the machloikis essentially is when the snake emits its poison, is it like automatically, or it's an action that's required by the snake to eject the venom? Or, no, just, you know, when the snake gets up against a person, it automatically happens. So one mandama says that, no, the snake emits the poison. It's an action of the snake that causes the poison to come out. So Tosis asks, so according to that Manda Omar, that it's an action of the snake, then he holds if one person puts another person's hand by the mouth of the snake, that person is potter. So Vim Taimar, Tosis asks, Hahi the Hishach Bayis HaNochash, the one who like caused the Nochash to bite someone, the potter, that we say it's potter, Leman the Oma Me Atzmai Hu Meiki, this gears on the side, change to it to Meiki. According to the Mandam, who says that the snake emits the poison of its own volition, meaning that it's an action of the snake that causes the venom to come out. So that mandama says, potter. So Tosis asks, why is he potter? When he brings the hand of that person to the mouth of the snake, that's like, hey, Vio. That's like the first criteria that Tosis said would make you chayiv. So Tosis asks, the one who caused the snake to bite someone, the potter, that it's he, the person is potter, lemanda ama, according to one manda ama who says, may atzmai hu meki, that the snake has to, on its own, cause the venom to come out, So Taisa says, am I potter? Why is he potter? Lefi ma shepirish b'shmaitzin de pipara. In the second parak, there's a sugya called pipara. So he's saying, according to that gemara there, shesam yada l'toich peh v'hishich, there he put the hand into the mouth, let's say here, of the snake, v'hishich, and the snake bit him. L'chayiv mishum ishoi. He should be chayiv because that's like his fire. Isha mishum chitzav, the vadai hanochosh yazikli adam. Because certainly the snake is going to hurt the person. So therefore, Tosis is asking, why do we say that he's potter? It's like he brought the snake, he brought the person to the place of the danger. It's like he tied up the person in the sun. Right? Tosis said before, right? Either he brings him from somewhere else, he's chayiv, or if he tied him up even in the place of the danger, even if he tied up in the place of the danger, if the sun is already there, he should be chayiv. So Tosfos, so over here, in the case of the snake, it would seem that, first of all, he put the hand by the mouth of the snake. Maybe that's called hevio. But secondly, there's another reason to make him chayiv, because the danger is there. It's like he brought him into the sun. It's like the lion is there. So why is he potter? So Tosfos answers, V'yesh leimar, the shani hasam. The case of the snake is different, according to this manda amar. She'ein ha'eres adayin ba'olam. Tosfos learns that since the snake has to produce the venom, it's like the venom isn't here yet. Meaning, he wants to compare it to the case where the sun has not come up yet. So, that's why he's potter. Because the venom is not here. So, Tosfos has like it's really like he said before, because the danger is not even created yet. It's like a little more than that, maybe than the sun case. In the case of the sun, it's certainly going to come. In the case over here, you need like another action, an action of the snake. Or Tosfos says, Eina ba'olam, that it's not here yet. The venom isn't here. The snake has to produce the venom. And therefore, even though he brought the person to the snake, but since the venom isn't here yet, maybe that's more like the case of the water where the danger is not here yet, right? Someone's got to go turn that water on to the victim to kill him. Here, the snake has to produce the venom to kill the person. So therefore, I would say it's considered like the case of the Bitka de Maya where he brought him to the place. He brought him to the snake, but without the snake producing the venom, creating the venom, nothing is going to happen. So that's why, in the case of the snake, that manda amar holds that he is potter. Okay, so those are the rules that Tosfos has given us of when you can be chayiv if you do an action, sort of a partial action, you'll be chayiv. So either it's because you brought him to the place of the danger, of potential danger, like when the sun will come up later on, but since you brought him there, you'll be chayiv. Or even if you didn't bring him there, but if the sun was already up and you tied him up in that place, you'll also be chayiv. But in a situation where another action is required in order to complete the murder, so then even if you brought him from somewhere else, you will be potter because someone else has to turn on the water to kill him. If you shoot an arrow at someone who has a shield, you're potter because even though Isha Mishim Chitzav, it's your action, but since there's the shield there, no harm could have happened at the time that you shot the arrow. And even if someone pulls the shield down after you release the arrow, even if you yourself were able to pull the shield down after you release the arrow, you will be potter because at the time that you shot the arrow, there was no danger. And then finally we have the case of the snake, where even though you brought, let's say, the hand of the person towards the mouth of the snake, but nevertheless, since the snake has to produce the venom, it's considered like there's no danger there at all. That has to be created. It's not like the case of the sun, where you know that the sun is going to come up eventually and kill this person. Here, if the snake decides not to produce the venom, nothing's going to happen. So to me, it would seem more like the case of the water, where without the other action of the other person, or here the other action, you need an action done by the snake to create the venom, then no harm would have happened. So even though he brought him towards the snake, still you will be potter. Those are the rules of the Tosfos. Okay, so let's now go to the next piece of Gemara. The third case said in the Braisa that there are three cases where, that there are four cases where you're part of Medina Adam v'chayiv b'dinei Shemayim. Says the Gemara, we're at the two dots, Anun Vav Amid Aleph, about six lines down. Amar, we said before, Hasoicher Eidei Sheker, if somebody hires false witnesses, Pata Midine Adam, Bechaye Bidine Shemayim, right? That's all it says. Hasoicher Eidei Sheker Lehoid, if somebody hires false witnesses to testify. But it doesn't tell us what happened. Who did they testify against or on behalf of? So, the Gemara says, Hey Chidami, what is the case here? Ilema l'nafshei. Did he hire the witnesses to testify for his own behalf? Meaning, he gets a pair of witnesses to testify that Reuven owes him money. Right? And they testified, and now Bezin said, okay, Reuven, you got to pay this person money. And they did give him the money. So we're saying that he's Pater Medine Adam V'chayiv Medine Shemayim. So the Gemara's question is, why is he Pater Medine Adam? He got this money illegally, right? The guys, they testified falsely, and Reuven had to give him money, so he should give back the money. Why is he part of Medine Adam? Medine Adam, he should be chayv to give back the money. Frak the Gemara. Hey, Chidami, what's the case here? Ilema l'nafshei, did he have the witnesses testify on his own behalf? So now he received money because of their false testimony. So Mamayna boy Shlume, he has to pay back that money. Ubedine Adam Nami Nechayiv. And therefore he should be Chayiv even Bedine Adam. The guy should go to Bezin. Bezin will make him pay back the money. Ella. So therefore the Gemara says, you're right. He would have to pay back the money. Even Bezin here, Bedine Adam, would make him pay back the money. But here the case is, he did not have them testify on his own behalf. In other words, this Seicher, he got a pair of witnesses to testify that Reuven owes Shimon money. Let's say the Seicher's name is Levi. Levi got a pair of witnesses to testify that Reuven owes money to Shimon. So now Shimon got the money. So here, if you go to Bezdin and take Levi to Bezdin, Bezdin can't make Levi pay. Levi's only a grumma. He hired the witnesses to testify that Reuven owes Shimon money. So he's only a grumma, and therefore, Bidine Adam, he'd be potter. But Bidine Shemayim, he's chayiv. Right? So what does that mean, he's chayiv Bidine Shemayim? It means Bidine Shemayim, Levi, who hired these guys, if he doesn't want to be in trouble up in Shemayim, he better give the money back to Reuven. Correct? That's what we're saying now. That Levi is part of Bidine Adam. Bezdin can't make Levi pay back Reuven. But in Shemayim, they're going to have a taina on Levi. So if he knows what's good for him, he should pay it back to Reuven right now while he's still alive. So what's the obvious question here? The $64,000 question would be, why don't we make Shimon pay back? Shimon is the one who got the money. So why doesn't Bezdin force Shimon to give the money back to Reuven? Why are we holding Levi accountable? True, he hired these false witnesses. It was not the right thing to do. But why are we holding him accountable for the money that Reuven lost? Shimon is the one who has Reuven's money. Let Shimon pay back. And Reuven and Levi should not be Chai B'dina Shemayim either. That is the question here. So let's see the Gemara inside again. We'll come back to this question. Amama, Asoichere de Sheker, somebody hires false witnesses, Patim B'dina Yodim, Chai B'dina Shemayim. So the Gemara asks, Hechi Dami, what exactly is the case here? Ilemel Enafshei, is the case that Levi hired these witnesses to testify against Reuven to give money to Levi? They say he owed Levi money. So then, Mamayna Boy Shlume, so why is Levi only Chai B'dina Shemayim? He should be Chai B'dina Yodim too. Mamayna Boy Shlume, he has to pay back the money. Ubedine Adam, Nami Nechayev, and he should be Chayev even B'dinei Adam. Ella, so the Gemara answers, you're right. In that case, Levi would be Chayev B'dinei Adam, but the case here is L'chavrei. Levi didn't hire the witnesses to say that Reuven owes Levi money. He didn't do it for himself, but he hired the witnesses to say that he told that Reuven owes Shimon money. So Reuven paid Shimon the money. But Levi is Chayiv B'dinei Shemayim, part of the other Chayiv B'dinei Shemayim. So our question is, why should Levi be Chayiv even B'dinei Shemayim? Why don't we force Shimon, who got the money, which is not his, why don't you force him to give back the money to Reuven? And Levi should be totally off the hook. Says Rashi. Lenafshei. The question was, did he hire the witnesses to say that Reuven owes Levi the money? Lahaitzi mamin lechmechaveiro. Now, he hired the witnesses to take money from Reuven, laatzmo, and that he should receive the money. Levi should receive the money. So, he says, that can't be the case. Because if that was the case, Mamayna Boy Lishlume, that Levi should give back the money. I say Mamayn, that same money, Shehoitzi, that same money that he took from Reuven, chayv lahachzir. He should be chayv to give it back to Reuven. So he should be chayv even b'dinei Adam. So the Gemara answered, you're right. The case is that he hired him to give money l'chavrei. Sochar eidei sheker. He hired false witnesses. Lahoitzi mana me Reuven l'shimen. To have Reuven pay Shimon. So now Levi did not receive the money. So therefore you can't make him chayiv b'dinei Adam, but b'dinei Shemayim, he is chayiv. So let's go to Tosfos Ela L'Chavrei. We'll come back to the other one, Bli Neder, tomorrow, Mamayna. Ela L'Chavrei, says Tosfos. Kigain, so now Tosfos is troubled by the question that I asked you. If Shimon is the one who received the money, let Shimon pay back. Says Tosfos, Ela L'Chavrei, Kegoin She'ein L'Chavrei Ma L'Shalem. Shimon blew the money. He has no money. He can't pay back. So now Shimon can't pay back. Levi is on the hook. So the Pnei Yeshua asks, well, how come the Edom aren't held responsible? And he says, the Edom also don't have money. Nobody's got money except for Levi. But we can't make him chayiv b'dinei Adam, but b'dinei Shemayim, he's chayiv. The Tosfos says, "Kegoyin she'ein l'chavrei ma l'shalei." Speaking here that Shimon, who received the money, doesn't have any money to pay back. Oy, or shehalach l'mdinas hayam, he skipped town, and we can't go after him. He's not here, so he doesn't pay back. Oy, or says Tosfos. This is an interesting statement. She'ein anu yoidim sheheim eidei sheker. The case could be speaking that we don't know that these are false witnesses. Right? And Reuven paid Shimon. So, and Reuven paid Shimon. So everybody thinks that Reuven really owes Shimon the money, and he paid Shimon. But Levi knows that he hired these false witnesses. So therefore, we're saying that even though we can't go after him in Beis Din, because we don't know that these are false witnesses, but Levi should know that in Shemayim, they're going to have a tain on him. That is chayiv b'dinei Shemayim.
Oh, makes sense.
What? What'd you say? I didn't hear the statement.
I was just thinking to myself, sorry.
Okay. So that's what Tosfos says. Three possibilities here. Either Kigoyin Shein L'Chavrei Ma L'Shalem, Shimon who got the money, he hasn't got money to pay back. Or Shalchni Zayam, or he skipped town, so we can't go after him. Or we don't know that it's false witnesses. So we can't say to Levi, hey, pay back. Because we don't know that there's any fraud going on. But we're saying, Levi, you should know, in Shemayim, you're going to be held accountable. Now Tosfos, that's how we answered that problem. Now Tosfos has another question. What happens if he did not hire these witnesses, but he goes over to two guys and say, hey, listen, why don't you go testify that Reuven owes Shimon money? Why don't you go to Bez and give some false testimony and, you know, you make Reuven chayiv and Shimon will get some a few dollars. And they go and do it. They weren't hired to do it. But they go do it anyway. Will Levi be chayiv b'dinei shemayim in this case? Because he like souped them up to go do it. He didn't pay them. He didn't hire them. But he souped them up, told them, you go testify. You know, Reuben's a lousy guy. You know, go testify against him. And this way Shimon will make a few dollars. So will he be held accountable? Is Levi held accountable for inciting these witnesses to go testify? So Tosfos says, that the case of the Braisa was that someone hires false witnesses, then he's held accountable, which implies that if he didn't hire them, he just told them to go do it, and they went and did it. So that sounds like Levi will not be held accountable. Says Tosfos weiter, V'dafka soicher. When is he held accountable? Only if it was soicher that he hired them. Avol omar. But what if he just said to them, go and testify falsely? Pater mi dine shemayim. So he will be pater even mi dine shemayim. So he pater mi dine yadam. And he's even pater mi dine shemayim. Disover, and Tosfos gives you a logic, the svara. Disover shelo yishmulo, because even though he told them to go do it, he figures they're not going to listen to him. So therefore, oimer is potter. So Tosfos says no. Maybe he would be chayav. Aye, so then how come we didn't give the case of Omer? That would be a greater chiddush than Soicher, right? If he just told them to do it, and they did it, if the Levi would be chayiv for telling them, b'dinei shemayim, that's a greater chiddush than if he hired people to testify that is chayav b'dinei shemayim. So if an oimer would be a greater chiddush than a soicher. So Tosfos says, could be oimer would also be, if he just said it to them, without hiring them, he would be chayav b'dinei shemayim. But the reason the Gemara told us the case of soicher, because he wants to tell you the chiddush of Dine Yadam. That a soicher is part of Dine Yadam. So again, Tosfos says, the ain, it's like he's like giving the answer to the hidden question. The ain near Eloimar, and you can't say the knockout soicher, the reason why he told you the case of soicher instead of the case of Omer, meaning that maybe really Omer, he'd also be chayiv for Omer, but the reason he told you the case of soicher is la'ashmina, to teach you a chiddush, the afilu soicher pater midinei adam. Maybe he told you this case because here I might have thought, since he hired them, maybe he should be chayiv even midinei adam. So maybe that's why he told you the case of soicher as opposed to the case of Omer. But really, the case of Omer, maybe he's chayiv as well. B'dinei shemayim. The Tosfos says, no, that can't be. That can't be. In other words, to tell me the reason he said that, you want to say that really Omer is also chayiv, but he told you the case of soicher because he wants to show you that you're part of midinei adam by soicher. No, that's not a chiddush to tell me that it's part of midinei adam. That's pashut. Shein zeh shum chiddush. That's not a chiddush at all to tell me that it's part of midinei adam. Ulekaman, loy avet tzrichusa Ela midine shamayim. The Tosis proves it, because later down on the page, the Gemara goes through to tell you what's the chiddush in every case. And it tells you by Eide Sheker, the chiddush is, if you want to look in the Gemara, we can take read it inside. It's on the same page. Go down. You see where it says the Tosis Pshita? The heading is Pshita. So parallel to that, go down three lines in the Gemara. It says, Eide Sheker Nami. By Eide Sheker also, you know what the Chiddush is? Mahu Detema. You might have thought, Lema, let him say. In other words, the Soicher, you're saying he's Chai B'dina Shemayim. So he can say, why should I be Chai B'dina Shemayim? Lema, let him say, Divrei HaRav, V'Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishayman. Right, we have this famous quote. If your Rebbe tells you to do something, and the Talmud tells you to do something, who are you supposed to listen to? Right? So the Soicher, maybe he's going to Katayna, listen, Hashem said you're not allowed to testify falsely. I hired them and I told them, listen, go testify falsely. Right? So we want to say that Levi who hired them is Chai B'din Shemayim. No, Levi's going to say, listen, why'd you listen to me? You know Hashem said you're not allowed to testify falsely. So why should I be held liable? Divrei HaRav, V'Divrei HaTalmud. If you have the words of the Rebbe and you have the words of the Talmud, Divrei Mishayman, who are you supposed to listen to? You shouldn't have listened to me. So therefore, I might have said that he should have such a taina and not be held chai b'dinei shamayim. So that's why the Braisa told you, Chiddush, no, that still you're chai b'dinei shamayim. So what do you see from this Gemara? Tosis proves that you see that the Chiddush of this case was that you're chai b'dinei shamayim. The Chiddush wasn't to say that you're part of Medina Yadam. You see from the Gemara itself that the chiddush of this case was that you're chaya b'dinei shamayim. So therefore, Tosis kasha was, all right, so now let's go back. Tosis said that if an oimer is potter medine, if a guy didn't hire these false witnesses, he just said to them, go testify falsely. So there, Tosis said, he's potter medine shamayim. In that case, he's even potter medine shamayim. Right? Because you figure they're not going to listen to him anyway. So Tosis says, no, maybe they would. And that's why the Gemara gave us Dafka case of Soicher, not of Omer, because Omer would be Pater. So Tosis says, no, maybe Omer is Chayv also. But the reason why he told you the case of Soicher is because he wants to show you the Chiddush that they're even Pater, Midine Adam. So Tosis says, that's not a Chiddush. And I'll prove it to you, because later when the Gemara says, what's the chiddush of the case? The Gemara does not say a chiddush is that you're part of Dinei Adam. The chiddush is that you're chai b'dinei shamayim. So you see, that's the main chiddush. So therefore, Tosis remains with his statement that an oimer would be part of even midinei shamayim. The only chai b'dinei Adam. That the Oimer would be Potter both Midine Adam and Midine Shemayim. And then Tosis makes another proof. The Oid, and furthermore says Tosis, the Bepirkin Tanan. Later in this Perek, the Gemara tells us the following halacha in the Mishnah. It says, what if you give a fire to a cheresh shait of a katan, right? A cheresh means he's deaf and mute. Shaita means he's an imbecile. And the vav sense of a katan, if he's a minor. These people have no das, no seichel. So what if you gave them a fire and they burned something down? So you can't hold them responsible, because they have no das. And what about the guy who gave him the fire? So it says in the Mishnah, if somebody sends the fire, he gives the fire to a chereshayt of a katan, pater midine yadam v'chai b'dine shemayim. So the one who gave the fire is pater midine yadam because he didn't start the fire, but he's chai b'dine shemayim. But in shemayim, he's going to be held responsible. He's a grummer. He caused the fire to happen by giving them the fire. However, sholach b'yad pikeach. But what if he gives the fire to a normal person? And this normal person goes and starts a fire. Hapikeach chayev. So then, this normal person who started the fire is chayev. But what about the one who gave him the fire? He's going to be pater. It's mashma, says Tosfos. The shaleach, that the one who gave the fire, pater af midine shemayim. He's pater even midine shemayim. Correct? Because he gave it to a normal person. So he doesn't expect a normal person to start a fire. So Tosis is making an analogy. And he's saying, just like when you send the fire with the pikeach, your pater, the one who gives the fire to the pikeach is pater because the pikeach has his own das. So he doesn't expect the pikeach to start a fire. So too, ha'oimer, if somebody says to a pair of witnesses, go and testify falsely, he's going to be pater midine shemayim as well. Why? Because he doesn't expect these false witnesses to go and testify falsely. And therefore be pater. It's like another proof that Tosis is bringing to his shita, that an oimer is pater. If you say to the witnesses that you're to go testify falsely, then the oimer is pater even nidine shamayim for any damage that for the loss of money that Reuven had suffered. Okay, let us learn a little Mishnah Brura. But before I just want to go through the list. Yes.
Are you allowed to involve the money in the process of judgment at all?
Are you allowed to what?
Are you allowed to involve any money to the process of judgment at all?
What does that mean? For example,
to pay to Adim or whatever things like, can money play any role in the process of judgment at all? Because I'm not sure. Can you ask any Adim who were in Chicago at the time when I have judgment in New York that somebody owes me money? Can I ask them, even though they are Adim Emes, can I ask them to come to the Beis Din and to testify against the person who I'm judging with?
They're Adim Emes?
Yes.
The Adim, they're saying the truth, so what is, I understand, what are you doing wrong? Because you asked them to come to testify on your behalf?
No, let's say I'm in New York, and the person who I'm judging with, the person who owes me money, we are both in New York. Can I ask any people, like random Jews, to testify against him, even though they are, let's say, in Chicago? So they'll come to New York and they'll testify against him.
I mean, if they know true testimony, why not? If they know the testimony, they know that the guy owes you money. They saw you lend him the money or whatever it is. So why can't they come? Why can't you ask them to come?
No, because I thought that Adim have to be people who are inside the story.
They are. They know the testimony, right? They saw loan take place. They're telling the truth.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you.
So if they know the story, so then they should testify. Okay, let me go through the list, and then we'll let Elimisha Brura. Yossi Cohen.
Yeah, I'm here.
Good. Tal. Tal? Tal, I know you're here. I spoke to you before.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. My mic was off.
Okay, good. Chaim Shlomo?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. Shmuel Mizrahi?
I'm here.
Good. Netanel?
Here.
Good. Dr. Yehuda?
Here.
Good. Tuvia is here.
Here.
Avner Laluz?
I'm here, Rabbi.
Good. We missed you yesterday. Were you here yesterday?
No, I missed it. I'm sorry.
Okay. We missed you, too. Moshe Aaron Cohen.
Too.
Okay, good. Moshe Aaron Cohen. I know it's true because he came back today. Moshe Aaron Cohen. He's here. Benny Kellerman. Yaakov Wyman. Levi Yitzchak is here. Okay. Let us go to the Mishnah Brura. Simen Tuf Pei Tes. Sif Dalid. So we're talking about... yesterday we discussed the question, if he asks you how many days it is, so if it's from Shki and on, you should tell him what yesterday's number was. And then the Mishabur said that only applies for the first 7 days, where we're not counting weeks yet. But if it's after that, where you already count weeks and days, and you just said, well, yesterday was 25 or 26, so then it's not going to make a difference. By the way, how much is today's Sfira? How much did we count last night? 27. Ayom Shiva V'yesem Yom, 27 days. Shehem, Shlosha Shavuos, which is 3 weeks. The Shisha Yomim, and 6 days. La Oimer to the Oimer. Okay. Says the Ramah. We're up to the Ramah. The last 2 words on the page. Hagah, says the Ramah. Ukishahigia hazman. When the time for counting Sfira has come, asurin lecho. You're not supposed to eat. When Tzeisak Echavim arrives, so you shouldn't eat, ad sheyisper, until you count. V'afilu hischa lecho. And even if you started to eat, after Tzeisak Echavim, Paisek, you should stop, V'seifrin should count. You have to stop your meal and count Sfira. Omiyu, however, in his chalecho koidim shegiyazman, what if you start eating before Tzeisak Echavim? Then, ain tzoch lahafsik, you don't have to stop your meal. Alagoyim achiloso v'seifer achakaf, you can finish your meal and count afterwards. Says the Mishnah Brura, back on the other page, Sif Kart Mechav Gimel. He says, "Kishegiya hazman, rotzalayma, say sakachavim." When it says sakachavim, because that's the zman of counting, so then you should not sit down to eat. Tafilim kvar hispalu kishma tfila, and that means even if you already daven kishma and myriv, the imloikain. In other words, let's say you daven myriv. You didn't count for some reason. And you sit down to eat. So he's saying, stop your meal and count. And it has to be that way. Dimloy Kane, Lavachi Asim Mishum Kriyash Netfiva. You're not supposed to eat before you daven. However, if you have a minion kavua, so then it's not a problem to eat because you'll daven with your minion. V'skim Achroinim. And Achroinim agreed, L'fimai de Paskina La'el. That based on what we paskin before, b'simin reish lamed hey lahachmir mechati shor kodem azman, we paskin earlier that you really shouldn't start eating half hour before the zman. before half hour before Tzeisa Kechavim. So then it technically would be this halacha would be true that you can't start to eat from half hour before. Well, I lost the place here. Right. So he says, based on what we passed him before, lahachmir chatshul akarim zman, who are din hacha, the same would be true here, in regard to sfira, yezlan lahachmir sholecho mechati shah samachu sfira. You shouldn't count, you shouldn't start eating from a half hour before the zman to count. I mean, from a half hour before tzeisa kechavim, you should not start to eat. If you didn't count, I feel quite hiked. So even if you davened already, you could daven ma'ariv earlier, but even if you davened and now it's half hour before the zman, don't sit down to eat until you count sfira. Ah, however, b'makom shaminik shashamish kairi lispa sfira. But what if the minig was that the shamish is going to come and call you to count sfira? So then ein lahachmir b'kaidin zmanai. So then you don't have to be machmir to start to not to eat before the zman, because the shamish is going to call you to eat. Lecho chavdalis, he says, lecho within shamalachas. Other things also you're not supposed to do before counting sfira. To lel simen rezon beis rezon mehe. Paisik v'seifer, he says, you have to stop. If you started to eat, so then you should stop and count. Hayne lemandama sfira v'zman hazed deraisa. But that's only if you hold that sphere is the Raisa, because the Mitzrayim Bahagot, Nim Kain, the Lamaisa, we hold that sphere of Isman is Ezra Bonan. The Didan, the Naktin, and sphere of Isman is Ezra Bonan. Ain't a Paisik. The Lamaisa, if you started to eat Bizman Azer, where sphere is on Rabbanan, you don't have to stop. Because El Simre Zabez, then you mincha. Then he says, "V'yesh me'achronim shekasu." All the achronim write that the Ramah, l'ficha chashuk Ramah, poi b'inyanenu lahachmir koisadeyish u'deraisa. But the Ramah, l'maisa, he said you should stop. That means he's paskening his halacha based on the shita that it's deraisa. Why? Mishim davadav v'shem b'terach klal lahafsik mat v'lisma. He says because he holds it's no big deal. You can stop your meal for a second and count. So that's why he says you should stop your meal and count. Chavav, if he started to eat before tzeis, so then you don't have to stop. Kaidim shigiyazman, if he matik esav nula'el, but based on what we wrote before, from half hour, samach lazman maschal isa. In other words, if you hold that you have to stop from half hour before, so then this halacha of the ma is if you started to eat more than half hour before. Ain't talk lahapsa filman the sizan said the raisa kibshisha chosis for. Okay, Lamaisi says you don't have to stop. If you start eating well before the zman, you don't have to stop because there's plenty of time to count. We're not really worried that you're going to miss this month. Have a great day, gentlemen. Try to chazer over. We covered a lot of material today.
Rabbi, I have a question.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Kol tov, everybody.
Kol tov.
Kol tov.
Rabbi.